Guys, it's so much fun to be together this morning.
Yeah.
Just great to see everybody. I know we've been out there, you know, in the West counties and the East counties and the North counties, and it's been great being in our county groups. But it's really, really just such a celebration to be here this morning all together. Guys, we live in New Jersey. Is that not too exciting or what? We live in North Jersey. And there's so many awesome things about where we live, and it's really cool that we get to bring good news of great joy to all the people throughout all the counties in North Jersey to plant Christ in every community. What an honor, what a dream for us. Now, I wanted to remind us this morning that God loves us deeply, that God thinks we're awesome, God looks on us with favor. We're His favorite. We're created for greatness. But you know, sin gets in the way. And sin kind of messes us up. And so we kind of start going down some of those little, you know, rabbit holes of sin. And sin kind of gets us into trouble. Gets us in sort of those downward spirals. And so that's why we're together. That's why we come together on Sundays. That's why we come together in our life teams. That's why we get together with God every day and we pray and we read the scriptures so that we can really live the full life that God has designed us for.
Amen.
And to get back on that track, to get back on that trail, to get that encouragement that we need so, so much. But it's awesome as we pray this morning, as we read the scriptures this morning, as we hug one another, as we sing, as we worship God this morning, He's bringing us back to His dream for each and every individual and for in this room and for us as a community. What a great blessing that we have in Christ. Let's pray, and then this morning I'm going to talk about the summer of dreams. It's July 7th. How's it going? We're going to get back into scriptures and hopefully get a little bit more pumped for the summer of dreams from what Jesus brings us and really be blessed by looking into the scriptures this morning. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, what an honor, what a blast just to be together and to love one another and to worship together and encourage one another and build each other up. Father, thank you for every single person that's here. Father, thank you for this incredible opportunity we get, Father, to worship the living and almighty God. Father, thank you that we get to follow Jesus, who's such a faithful guide, such a faithful friend and brother and Messiah. Father, showing us the way. Father, thank you for the scriptures that we get to open this morning. Father, lead us and guide us by your word powerfully this morning as we open up the scriptures. We pray that you'd lead us by your spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's turn over to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. So today is entitled The Summer of Dreams Part 2. It's July 7th. We're just kicking off the summer. And I hope you can say that that it's going well, that it's going great, that you're pursuing your dreams, that Jesus is really helping you to be a faithful, hope-filled dreamer in your life. How's it going? How's it going? Are you passionately pursuing your dreams? Are you going after it? You know, a couple of weeks ago, we sang La Montaña, remember? And we talked about throwing the mountain, that Jesus says, even if, you know, there's a mountain in front of you, which often there is when we have a dream, there's a mountain that appears that wants to stop us from getting to that dream. But Jesus says you can throw that mountain in the sea. You can say, move from here to there, and it will move. You were talking about having some great dreams for the summer. And I was sharing with you some of my dreams. And we were sharing with you, you know, sharing with one another our dreams. But one of my dreams was to learn how to surf. You guys remember that? It's been kind of this dream for a long time. And so I thought to myself, you know, I can't just talk about it and not do something about it. And so I went down to Seabright. And I bought a few surf lessons from this place called, I guess it's Lucky Dog Surf Company. And so I walk into Lucky Dog Surf Company, I buy my lessons, and I took a morning off, and I went down, and sure enough, I met Billy, my surf instructor. And Billy just looked like this classic California surfing guy. And I was like, yes, this is my new hero. And so we started talking, and it turns out he is from California. And Sue and I lived for many years out in California, so we had a lot of kind of, you know, stories to share and things to talk about. But he grew up in Santa Barbara, and he went to UC Santa Barbara. And at UC Santa Barbara, he met a Jersey girl. And so he ended up, dating her, and he moved to New Jersey to date her. And he took a job with this surf company. And so he teaches lessons. He taught lessons last summer. He's teaching lessons this summer. But in the meantime, last winter, he went down to Maui. And he spent the winter in Hawaii teaching surfing, being a surf instructor. And so I'm like, this guy's legit, man. This guy's got some creds. And so, of course, we go up to the onto the beach, and we're there. I got my wetsuit on, and he's teaching me kind of all the stuff, as to how to kind of get up on the board, where your sweet spot is on the board. And then he said, okay, it's time to go out into the ocean. So I'm like, okay, let's do this. Let's go. And so, of course, we went out, and we're kind of paddling out. We get all set, and sure enough, Billy. He's my new guru. He's back there kind of guiding the back of my surfboard. He says, okay, start paddling. Here it comes. Here comes the wave. So he pushes me along. And sure enough, I'm like, okay, here we go. Let's do this. And so sure enough, I'm kind of struggling to stand up. But sure enough, I stand up on the board and I surf the wave all the way into the shore. And I was like, let's do that again, It's pretty easy, Billy. What do you think? And so the next time, of course, I just wiped out horribly. I try to get by the board, the thing slips out, I'm on my back. And sure enough, at the end of the lesson, okay, so I wanted to say, this is really what Billy said. He said to me, because I surfed about another 6 or 8 times. He said, I think this is the first time. And he said, okay, let me think about it here a little bit, so I don't lie. I said, yeah, you can't lie, because I got to take this one back to my wife. He said, I think this is the first time that a new surfer got up 7 times out of 8 tries, because that's what I did. I got up the next 6 times that I tried. And I surfed the surfboard into the shore, and I'm like, I think I have the gift of surfing. I think I have the gift. And so I took a picture of me and Billy just for proof. I said, hey, Billy, can you be my instructor the next few times we do this? And of course, me and Billy, man, we're tight now. We're like in there with each other. That was so fun. It's cool to have some outrageous dreams for your life, right? And you got to go for it. There's a special little thrill just to kind of take advantage of some of those things that God gives us as those little gifts. To say, hey, life is meant to be fun. Life is meant to be enjoyable. But that was really a fun dream for me to have and to fulfill. And so I wanted you to know that I'm working on it. I'm going after my own dreams. In John chapter 10, Jesus is speaking here, and he says this in verse 9. He says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. And so when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. And then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus came to shepherd us. Jesus came to help us, and to love us, and to guide us, and to inspire us. Jesus helps us to have vision for our life again. Jesus helps us to dream again. And then not only dream the dreams, but to make those dreams come true. All human beings dream. We have God's DNA in us. We have the Creator God's DNA in us. And so that's our nature to dream, to look forward, to imagine. We all dream of living lives of significance and meaning. We long for it. All humans dream of connecting in real love and real intimacy in their relationships. All humans dream of being joyful, of being happy, of being successful. All humans dream of overcoming obstacles to achieve greatness, All humans dream of forgiveness and redemption and resurrection. And that's why Jesus is not only the good shepherd, he's the best shepherd. He's the one who can get us all the way there. He's the one who lived among us, who feels our pain, who feels our struggle, who knows our struggle firsthand, and yet who overcame, and who cares about us. And so he comes back to get us and to lead us and guide us faithfully so that we can see our dreams come true as well. Jesus is the perfect summer of dreams. Not only just summer of dreams in terms of picturing them, but summer of dreams coming true. He's the greatest coach and trainer for us. So I want us to learn from Jesus this morning. And I want us to learn four keys to making our dreams come true from Jesus himself. And the first key is this. It's possible. The first key is this. It's possible. Jesus is the pioneer of possible. Things that people said were impossible, Jesus made possible. He dreamed the impossible dream, and it came true for him. We saw him make it possible right in front of our eyes. You know, it's interesting because when we dream and we start to think about the possibilities of life, you know, it's then that the demons and the giants and the doubts and the fears and the critics start showing up, isn't it? We have a big dream, we're fired up about it, and then we start to pursue it, and all of a sudden this giant comes into our path. This critic comes into our path. And the critic says, you can't do this. You don't have what it takes. You're not smart enough. You're not strong enough. You're not beautiful enough. And the interesting thing is that in some ways, they're right. We need help. We need help. We need guidance. We need power. We need God. You know, there's an amazing passage in Hebrews chapter 13 because it says, so we say with confidence, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. Do you know that God wants to be your helper? Do you know that God stoops down to make you great? Do you know that God really wants to help you and lift you up and inspire you? He wants to serve you so that you can be your best. We can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? You know, we need power that is bigger than our problems to make our dreams possible. And that power comes from God. Listen to these passages. Listen to these things that Jesus said. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. For nothing is impossible with God. Like that mountain we talked about? That mountain is challenging for us, isn't it? It's challenging for us as we have those dreams and we want to pursue them. But you know, that mountain is nothing for God. That mountain isn't bigger than God. That mountain isn't smarter than God. That mountain isn't tougher than God. Nothing's impossible for God. Matthew 17, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Why? Because God is on your side. Because you walk with God every day. You're becoming more and more like God as you draw near to Him. Matthew 19, verse 26, Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Mark 9, if you can, Jesus said, everything is possible for the one who believes. Luke 18, verse 27, Jesus replied, what is impossible with man is possible with God. You know, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 24, Peter said this about Jesus. He says, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. That's our trainer. That's our Messiah. That's our master, our life coach. It's Jesus trying to help us to become just like him as we go after the impossible in our life that becomes possible with God. You know, a lot of people ask, why when I start to dream are all these challenges coming my way? You know, to accomplish our dreams, we need power. But also to accomplish our dreams, we need humility. You know, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, indeed in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. So Paul was being beaten down. Paul was being persecuted. Paul was going through challenges. Paul thought he was pretty awesome, and he was awesome. And we are awesome as well. But oftentimes the challenges that we face, we cannot rely on our own power and our own strength to overcome them. We can't. And so a lot of times we go through struggles to humble us, because when we go through struggles, guess what? We start calling out to God. We start saying, God, I can't do this anymore. God, this is too much for me. And we find ourselves on our knees. We find ourselves in a place where all of a sudden we're open to God's influence on our hearts and our soul and our mind and our strength. And that's when we start to feel empowered. And that's what Paul says. He says, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. In Ephesians chapter 3, he writes this, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how long and how wide and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You know the secret to Jesus' power? Is that he had a love relationship. He was rooted and established in love that did not change. He was in love with God in heart and his emotions. He was in love with God in his mind and in his thoughts. He was in love with God in his spirit and his beliefs. He was in love with God in his body and his actions and how he lived. He had that deep, abiding sense of strength and stability and hope in his life because he prioritized the love relationship he had with God. You know why we feel so weak sometimes? Is because, frankly, we're not close to God. We're not putting in the time to develop that trust. We're not putting in the time to really read his word and get to know him and get to love him. Jesus wasn't like that. Jesus spent hours. Sometimes he would spend all night. He would often withdraw to lonely places and he would pray. And because of that love, because he was rooted and established in love, he had that power that only comes from God. The second key. The first key is possible. The second key is passion. Look over at John chapter 2. John chapter 2. If we're going to make our dreams come true, we've got to have a passion like Jesus. We got to get at it like Jesus. We can't just kind of have a dream and go, wouldn't that be really cool? Because the dream's going to require something from us. The dream's going to require that we are the most passionate of anybody about seeing that dream come true. You know, in John chapter 2, starting in verse 12, he said, after this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and brothers and his disciples. And there they stayed for a few days. And when it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found men sitting, selling cattle, sheep and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. And so he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, get those out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market? And his disciples remembered that it is written about him, zeal for your house will consume me. Then the Jews demanded of him, what miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this? And Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. The Jews replied, it's taken 46 years to build this temple. And you're going to raise it in 3 days, but the temple he had spoken of was his body. And after he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. And they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Who was more passionate about Jesus' mission and his dream than Jesus? Nobody. Jesus was known for his passion. Jesus was known for his focused determination. He was known for his zeal. And yes, for some people, For some people, it kind of blew their minds, kind of amazed them. Other people actively opposed it. Other people actively criticized it. This is a great example of this. Jesus was a force to be reckoned with. I love this passage because it helps me to see that Jesus was passionate about accomplishing and finishing the job that he was sent for. That Jesus was a man that was focused, that he was fiery, that he was intense. And he wasn't just intense about himself. He wasn't kind of doing this out of selfish ambition. He was doing this because zeal for his Father's house was consuming him. He loved God so much, and he loved the things of God so much, that he made a whip out of cords, and he was driving the marketplace out of the temple. He says, "My Father's house should be a house of prayer for all nations." You know, dreams require energy. And no one should be more passionate about your dreams than you. You know, a couple that's really, really inspired me so much since moving to New Jersey is Marcus and Sonia Williams. And, you know, of course, Marcus is a cardiologist and Sonia is a nurse. And they went into private practice a few years ago. They just recently bought a property in our town to work their practice out of. We had our life team initial kind of send-off service at their office building. We had a dedication service, and they had about 25 of their patients and partners and clients there at this worship service. Marcus did an incredible job talking. He's, of course, a cardiologist, so we did this lesson on the heart, on the spiritual heart, the physical heart, how to take care of the heart. And it was awesome, and people were so impacted. I love Marcus and Sonia's zeal. They're in their early 60s. They're incredibly talented. They're incredibly gifted. But they have this zeal for God. And they have this zeal for their dreams. To make their dreams come true. They ain't done yet. And I think it's an example for all of us. That, you know, our dreams are precious. Our dreams are valuable. Let's have a passion for them like Jesus had a passion for his dreams. And let's not let them go just because it gets hard. Mark and I were talking about, we went out to see the fireworks on July 4th with our life team. It was just a great time together. And we were talking about freedom. And Marcus made the observation, you know, that freedom is never free. But there's a great cost. There's a great price that was paid for our freedom through the Revolutionary War. Through all the different wars that have been fought on our behalf. That freedom isn't free. And so often we think kind of the road to freedom is sort of this comfortable kind of path. And yeah, there's security on that path, and there's safety on that path, and we're in it together, and God is with us. But there's a price to be paid for all of our dreams. Jesus paid the price, and now he's turning around and saying, it's time for you to pay the price. Look over in Matthew 7 for the third key. First key is possible. Second key is passion. Third key is practice. Matthew chapter 7. You know, Jesus taught us one basic habit to live an awesome life. You guys want to hear it? I know a lot of us know this, but it's good to be reminded. Jesus taught us this in verse 21. It says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name?'" Matthew 7, verse 22. "Did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.' Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man, it's like a wise woman who built their house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation in the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house in the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." And when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. Jesus says we have a choice. We can either build our roots and our foundation down deep so that we're ready for that storm when it comes, because it's coming, and it's coming with a vengeance, and it wants to take you out, and it's taking a lot of people out before you and me. And it's coming just like it's coming in everybody else's life. And so Jesus is trying to bless us and help us and say, hey, the storm's coming. Let me help you get ready. Let me help you prepare. And the way you do that is you hear my words and you put them into practice. Hear my words, put them into practice. Hear my words, put them into practice. That basic habit will save your life. That basic habit will enable you to rise up on that strong foundation and build a life that is the life of your dreams. Where your life is significant. Where your life is making an impact. Where there's joy and there's security and there's strength in your life. Jesus is trying to bless us and to help us. It was really cool because a couple of weeks ago, we had our Jesus Leadership Boot Camp. And we were trying something out. We said, hey, why don't we get the young pros together and anybody else who wants to join. And let's have a boot camp where we just kind of for a week set some goals, encourage one another daily, help each other out, help each other to hear and practice Jesus' words. And I'm telling you, it was just 7 days long, but it was, in one person's words, transformational. And it's something that we can do in all of our groups. It's really cool because in our group was Allison and Andre and Bobby and Desiree and Donna and Hannah and Johanda and Lentz and Maxine and Ramona and Rice and Shauna and Steve and Sue. Sue Wargo was in there. Trayshawn. And it was really simple. We just got together for dinner. We set some goals, some daily goals for that week. We set up time to talk on a conference call every morning from 6:30 to 7. We encouraged one another. We shared good news. We prayed together. We laughed. We joked together. We helped each other in our struggles. We had a big celebration barbecue over at Sue's at the end of the week. And every one of us left encouraged. Every one of us left feeling built up, feeling like our foundation was stronger. And it was simply because we were hearing Jesus' words and putting them into practice together. Last key is perseverance. Fourth key is perseverance. So we've got possible. We've got passion. We've got practice. We've got perseverance. You know, a few years ago, when Sue and I stepped out of the full-time ministry for a while, we were serving in Kids Kingdom in our old region, and they asked me for Easter to come back and speak. And I thought, oh, that's pretty cool. I'll get a chance to speak. And so I went back to speak to the region on Easter. And my lesson was entitled The Key to Wild Success. Because I was trying to find that sort of in my next chapter of my career, of my life. And I was studying the Bible a lot. And I found that the key to wild success, according to the Word of God, is perseverance. Amen. It's perseverance. It's not flash. It's not dash. It's not just showing up for a minute. It's perseverance. Listen to some of these scriptures. Luke 8. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Romans chapter 5. We also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. James chapter 1. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. Perseverance is trying to do some work on you and on me today. Because we're tempted to quit, aren't we? We're tempted to give up. We're tempted to cash in. We're tempted to not have such big dreams because it's not working out quite like we expected. But perseverance comes with a promise. Perseverance says, let me finish my work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Hebrews 12, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's throw up everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let's run with perseverance the race marked out for us. There's great things at the end of this race, brother and sister. We got to persevere. We got to finish. That's your race, man. I got my race. We're going to race together. We're going to hold up one another's arms. But we got to race to the finish. Let's encourage one another daily so that sin doesn't harden us. And cause us to quit or hold back. James chapter 1 again. Blessed is the one who perseveres in the trial. Because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Possible. Passion. Practice. Perseverance. It sounds a little bit like Jesus to me. Jesus is the one that we follow. Let's follow Him to not only dream great dreams, but to see our dreams come true. This summer, make Jesus your summer of dreams come true, coach, trainer, guide, and shepherd. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to share our communion here in just a moment. We're going to take bread. We're going to take the juice, which represents the body and the blood of Jesus. And the cost, the price that He paid to see His dream come true. You know, one of Jesus' biggest dreams was you. Was you and me. And He gave His body and He gave His blood to see His dream come true. If you need a cup for communion, please go ahead and raise your hand. Let's pray and let's enjoy communing with God by His Spirit as we think about Jesus and thank Him this morning. Let's pray. Jesus, we need You so, so much. Thanks for persevering all the way to the end for us. Thanks for going through the pain, going through the challenges, going through the suffering, the struggle for us, giving Your blood. We can't believe that You did that for us, God. Thank You so much, Jesus, for being an example to us. Thank You so much for coming back to get us with a dream for our lives. Father, help us to fulfill that dream because we take hold of Jesus' way of living, His way of believing, His perseverance, His passion, His practice. Father, we love You. Bless this time of communion. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.